1970s custom cake creations. Really? All kids love log.
Tis the podcast log.
Yes, log.
Of the Star Wars Collector's Archive blog.
Yes, log.
Whenever the Star Wars Collector's Archive publishes a new blog, this podcast will log its contents, interview its writers, and go deeper, deep, deep. It's the Kivecast Blog Log Pod.
You, sir, are a mouthful.
Relax and just take life easy for a little while. Because it's only lasts for a little while.
All right, Steve.
Well, Steve, we don't do any fancy intros on these blog log pods.
Nope. Just jumping straight into the cake here.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking to Jonathan McElwain. And if you thought the last thing we talked about with Jonathan McElwain was kind of an abstruse point of Star Wars collecting, being Wonder Bread collectible baseball cards, wait till you get to the world of custom cake creations from the late 70s.
Yes.
But before we get there, Steve, I think there's a couple of things I think we should say. One is that we haven't recorded an episode in a while. I think we're going to get into why when we actually do record the Nien Nub episode with Brock. But for now, we'll just say there are reasons.
Yeah, everything's good. But yeah, strikes and gutters, ups and downs. That's what I keep saying to myself.
Yeah, a lot of ins, a lot of outs. Got to stay limber. And we definitely, you know, there have been a lot of things, you know, like, I don't know if you picked up on it, Steve. You've been kind of busy, not really in the hobby. Someone referred to this podcast as my podcast with you just, like chipping in every once in a while.
So really? Like,
yeah. It was actually Chris Georgoulias. So, you know, I'd like to address that and just sort of, you know, make sure that's very clearly not the case. I just talk a lot, but I think the way I put it was I do like 47% of the work. I get like 70% of the credit and 100% of like the crap. So
that's true. You know, I do benefit from the situation too.
Yeah, and that ties in pretty nicely with my famous Top Toys Does Not Exist scandal.
Oh man! Yeah. Oh.
So we may actually bring that up with Jonathan McElwain. We might save it till next month or till our next real episode.
Yeah, you might have to at least tease it with Jonathan because there is a piece that he has some knowledge on. But
yeah,
we'll see.
And just for the record, if anyone actually listens to the show, at no point do I ever say Top Toys does not exist. I just sort of throw it out there. My goal is to be an agent provocateur, you know, which is actually the name of a lingerie brand in France as well.
of course it is.
You wouldn't think it is, but it is. So I am just your standard French lingerie friend, Star Wars collector.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll maybe figure out how I can drop that into conversation if we can get enough of this hot cake talk.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I don't know if you guys watch the Great British Baking Show or not, but like Tessa's obsessed with it. So every time I think of anything that's baking related, I just start hearing the theme song in my head. And now when I see these cakes, we're going to talk about that. Like I can't escape that.
Well, it's funny, you know, I have a lot of cake thoughts as well, which maybe we won't even get into with Jonathan. So I'll just kind of go over them here. Number one is I'm, as I think everybody knows, a huge fan of Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And Paul F. Tompkins does the cake boss as a character. But
That's
the thing
right,
that
yeah.
makes him so famous is that every time someone says his name, he just goes, cake boss.
Cake boss.
And he has this whole like amazing mythology around himself about cake bugs and getting the cake site. And so for me, every time I think of cakes, I just think of cake boss. And my daughter watches the British Baking Show. And so I just think of the cake. Oh, cake boss. Yeah. But it's Lastro. So,
welcome to the show, Cake Boss. Thank you so much for dropping by. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank you, Cake Boss. Thank you for having me, Scott Oxum. It's a pleasure to be in whatever this is.
You look frightened. Is everything okay?
I don't get it. It's like a fake place.
Hey, well, it's a television set, but you must be used to that.
My reality show.
Oh.
So it takes place in my cake kitchen.
You know, I want to ask you about your reality show. What is going on with it? What's happening?
I'm making cakes. What do you think I'm doing? It's what I do on the Cake Boss.
How much time do you need to make a normal cake?
Let's say, how much time would you give me to make a cake?
I'll give you about 5 hours.
I need more time than that. What? I need 6 hours.
I understand. Well, what if I gave you 6 hours?
I need 7 hours for these cakes at Oxford.
It sounds like you have some crazy stuff going on in that
kitchen. There's crazy stuff going on there.
That's just what I said.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I think of. And of course, I think we talked about it on the show, my ex-girlfriend made a porg cake for my daughter.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was an amazing piece of art. It was probably the only reason that my daughter ever even met her, because it was too early in the relationship. But like, my daughter seriously said, "I want a porg cake." And I was dating somebody who's like, "I recreationally make cake, like, you know, cakes you see on TV." So I was like, this is a kismet. So
Definitely.
I'll put pictures up of that on the enhanced edition. I eventually cut off its head and named it Louis the Porgteenth.
I do remember this. Yeah,
and I put it out on the table outside where I would just watch the. I put it in a little cryogenic Walt Disney plastic container, and we would just watch it. Like, squirrels would break into it, eat off pieces of it, and it's all the fondant.
It was a strange, like, art installation. That's what I think of it as. It was on your back porch.
Yeah, it was on the back porch, and you watch it, you know, get covered in snow, and then the snow would melt and be covered in snow again. And
there was a lot going on there. Yeah,
there was. I suppose symbolically, I threw it away last year, and even more symbolically, my wife cleaned the table and got most of the old rotten porg cake brain off the table. Yeah, she's actually in the other room, and before I started recording, she was like, you know, she's excited. I'm like, I don't think this is going to be a very exciting episode. We're going to be talking about cakes, and she's like, you're not going to talk about those Argentinian fakes? Because now I've been telling her about it. So we'll see. I might have to throw that in just to keep the gallery happy.
Yeah, fakes and cakes. Yeah.
Oh, fakes and cakes, Steve, you see? I didn't come up with fakes and cakes.
But the timing is all there. Yeah.
Fake boss. Seriously, Steve, this is going to be the best episode. Just, I haven't heard of nothing about anything that's going on here. Like, this is the most obscure. Like, this, if you were trying to do a parody of what our show is, you could not get this obscure.
I think you're absolutely dead on. This is going to be a larger world that I don't think neither of us ever thought we would step into in terms of.
Yes.
Yeah, but hey, if there's anyone to talk about it, it would be Jonathan. Like, that makes absolute sense.
It does. Awesome. I'm going to try to figure out how to add him onto our conversation, and we'll talk to the cake boss. Okay, Steve, I just hit record because we were joking around with Jonathan before I hit record, and he said something which is going to lead us, and actually, Steve, provide an emotional narrative through line in our cake venture. So
yes,
how's it going, Jonathan McElwain? Why do you care so much about cakes?
Well, Sky, Steve, it was good to talk to you. When I was growing up, my mom was a cake enthusiast, I guess you would say. So her friend opened up a shop in there. I grew up on a small rural town in Pennsylvania, and her friend opened up a shop there, a cake shop. It didn't last too long, from what I recall. It's probably not a big enough community to support something like that. They make cool stuff, but whatever. So anyways, we had the Wilton cake stuff around and candy molds and all that sort of thing were just like part of growing up for me.
Wow. Okay. So what was the name of that town?
Stewartstown.
Stewartstown. So there's a little baking shop in Stewartstown, and little Jonathan McElwain with his beard and he's just
that's right.
rolling up on his little bicycle, and he looks in, and so you would actually see the Wilton Star Wars theme things. But this is the thing, Steve. Wilton Star Wars, that is way, way too mainstream, okay? We are not going to waste our times with that. Instead, we're going to try to get people to go and visit the Star Wars Collectors Archive blog to see the images from Jonathan's amazing article on Mailbox News. What is Mailbox News, Jonathan?
So it was a sort of, I think it started as a newsletter type of thing, maybe back, like dating back to the 1950s.
Oh my gosh.
And by the time of the era of Star Wars, it was a mostly black and white publication. I don't know, maybe, you know, 30 pages or something. Color cover and, you know, sometimes back cover. But yeah, it was just like a magazine type of thing where it seems like people who were enthusiastic about cakes would mail in pictures of cakes they made and those things would get published. And they would also interview, I guess, you know, people who did cakes professionally, wedding cakes and so forth.
So I'm trying to imagine somebody at a, like at a magazine stand being like, you know, I'm a cake enthusiast like Mrs. McElwain, and I would really like to get a magazine about cakes. Oh, yeah. There it is. Mailbox news.
I don't know that this was on the newsstand. This looks and sort of seems like it's like one step up from a fanzine, I'd say, you know, it's like professionally made, but it probably was never like, you know, next to Sports Illustrated or anything like that. Yeah, right. So I think you probably had to be a subscriber to get this thing.
Right. I love that it's published by Maid of Scandinavia in Minneapolis. Like that's like the most perfect like parent company and location for this to be coming from. It feels just right.
Yeah. Just to make again, that's Maid, M-A-I-D.
Yes.
Of Scandinavia from Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I have like the Minnesota like accent in my head, like, oh yeah, don't you know Mailbox News, you know, like just putting it all together. Yeah, this is just the most, I don't know, like middle America, most 70, this is the most something. Steve, I usually know when something is the most something, what it's the most something of, but this is
a little tougher to pin down, but it is, yeah.
And so did being a cake enthusiast, did your mom get Mailbox News, Jonathan?
You know, that's a good question, and I had the same question myself after I got these things. And she was visiting recently, and I asked her. So I said, "Did you get this thing?" She said, "No, I've never seen this." But she did remember the name Maid of Scandinavia, and looking around a little bit into them, I think that was like a mail order. They may have had some retail store or stores, but it seemed like it was a mail order company. And so Mom remembered that aspect of it, but she didn't remember this magazine at all. It is funny, though, you see some of these articles and they'll say, well, I used a number 5 piping tube, you know, like they really like geeking out on like, so I don't know if that's a sales pitch kind of thing, but yeah, it's kind of funny.
I see. So maybe it was like, you know, one of these things where the people who are getting this would realistically just buy all their products from Maid of Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense for Mailbox News, which only would have been more boring if it was actually a magazine about mailboxes. I wonder if there's a magazine called Cake News. It's all about mailboxes. So then now that you, how did you even learn that this existed, Jonathan?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. How did you come across it?
Someone on one of the Facebook groups put up a magazine for sale, and I'd never seen it before, and it was the one that has the R2D2-ish cake on the cover.
Right. So let me just describe this for the listener. Okay, so it's like it's a 70s font. It says Mailbox News. In the middle, in this nice bright color, is this odd-looking R2-D2 cake, three-dimensional with a wooden stand. It is a very – it says Cake of the Month, almost like a Playboy centerfold. And that's what it looks like. So that's what drew Jonathan into it. So, but you didn't buy it?
I didn't buy it. I think the price was kind of like high. I was like, I bet I could get that for cheaper, you know. So I was playing the cheapskate move. And, you know, and then I kind of forgot about it. And then Eric Janicki, you know, as an R2-D2 collector, he had picked up, you know, some of these along the way. And just not too long ago sent me a link to it. And I ended up buying a lot of them. And it had that one in it. But then going through it, I was like, oh, wow, there's all these other ones. In the meantime, he had thrown away all the ones that came in the lot that he bought. So I think he's trying to buy him back now.
Okay, so then there is, this is the definitive, this article is the definitive place to learn about mailbox news, Star Wars, custom cake creation. No one else was doing this research before.
That's right. I guess not. So I'm the only one.
And how many different episodes, how many different issues have you found that feature? Because this is the thing. None of this is standardized. None of this is sold in the store. This is all maids of Scandinavia and elsewhere making these cakes and being inventive and creating art, you know, edible art around Star Wars themes. I mean, this is really awesome stuff. So how many of these issues did you find?
I think there were like 10 or 11, but I haven't covered all of the years yet, so I suspect there's some more. And there's lots of other cool, like, 80s stuff in there. You know, really just bizarre stuff. But the Star Wars stuff, I think there might be 10 issues in this article, and there's a couple more that I've picked up since. So I wasn't necessarily trying to be comprehensive. It just seemed like this was a critical mass, enough, you know, interesting stuff to kind of put out this article.
Yeah, what I love about these is like the ingenuity about like some of these cakes. I mean, it doesn't always translate quite right, but I love that they're using things like paper towel holders and donuts and stuff for pieces of R2, and like turning a clown pan upside down to do Darth Vader. Like, there's all sorts of little like yeah, I don't know, cakery tricks that are going on that, like, yeah, you realize, like, yeah, this is what it took to do this. You didn't really have these. If you weren't going with the Wilton kind of preset stuff, you kind of had to just do everything on your own. I love that kind of kitschiness to them.
Yeah, you're definitely right. And then, like the first two that are in the post, like, the, you know, the second one is, like, clearly inspired by the first one. And you,
right,
kind of see that as you go along. It's like, oh, like a, you know, and you imagine back then, by the time someone got an article, read it, made their kind of inspired by cake, mailed it in, you know, it was like a year later before the next one is published.
Right. So, yeah. So
it's, I like those sort of echoes that go through this thing.
Well, yeah, because it's, I mean, if there's one thing modern civilization has taught us, it's that cake making is the highest form of art. I mean, I think if you look back at this moment in time, like, art historians will be like, it appears as though they abandoned all other forms of art in favor of pop culture cakes. And this is really the beginning of it. And you're right. You see how people develop. And the thing about these articles, you know, so I was going to do the thing, Jonathan, of where I just didn't read it at all and then came in blind, but I thought,
right,
this is going to be a super niche thing, so I might as well read it. And I was looking through trying to find, like, you know, some funny writing or something to kind of latch onto that would, you know, I would sort of do my Sky thing and talk about it for 45 minutes because they referred to, I don't know, R2-D2 as like a mechanical slave boy or something. But there's nothing. Like, there is not a single word out of place in these articles. They are entirely descriptive, you know?
Yep.
Like, it's the, there's, this is a trade magazine. This is an artist's workshop. This is like, if you want to paint this sunset, use a Cerulean 3, and that's it. Like, there's the poetry is located entirely within the creation, not in the writing.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right.
So I'm a little bit disappointed in that, but that makes it more fun because you get to focus on the images.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah.
There's the, I mean, I don't know if we want to jump right to the Chewbacca's Sky,
sure,
but those two, and it's that same case where, like, one clearly was the jumping off point for the other. The first one is this, I mean, there's so many weird iterations of Chewbacca, and I'm sure, I don't know, have you ever seen other Chewbacca, like, baked goods that were of that time? Like, this thing is wild, this chewy cake with these,
yeah,
crazy eyes and, like,
yeah,
gnarly hair. And
well, that's the thing. There's lots of bootleg Chewbacca, or, you know, custom Chewbacca, you know, paint it your home kit stuff, like all that stuff that Ron collects.
Yeah.
But these are great because, you know, obviously I paid more attention to this than to the others, but in, as Jonathan rightly points out, July 79 was when the cake artists of Maid of Scandinavia made a breakthrough in pictorial depictions of the character Chewbacca. They realized if you take a rag doll mold,
right,
and trim the skirt off, that would be mostly the body of the Wookiee with one E. So, like, you see this very rough version, and it's almost like an exploding koosh ball Chewbacca. Like, just...
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the way they made it, it's like the head is way wider than the feet. it sort of looks like a weird African doll, maybe.
Yeah, see, if I saw this, like, just the image straight on its own, I would not have thought that was a cake.
No. You know?
It's very wild-looking, and I love that. I think in that little snipe from the article, the mom says that it's not a very friendly-looking cake, but my son was happy with it. Which is just like, I think if you were a kid wanting a Chewbacca cake and there really was nothing to go on, I'd be pretty stoked with that.
Yeah. And then right after what you're saying, Steve, immediately goes on to saying how she had problems and what she would do next time is round
right,
it.
Right.
And then a year later, someone sends in basically the same cake, but having heeded that advice. And so we see how the art, before it would be standardized, was developed. Steve, I think we need to have, I don't know if we can do this, a celebration. But what if we had a cake competition where you didn't try to make the new, you know, Cake Boss style cakes, you tried to make these cakes.
Tried to replicate these, yeah.
Right? Oh. I mean, that would be far out, you know?
That'd be awesome.
That would be wild. I think I like that idea. I think we should keep that in mind for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do it. If you're listening to this and you have an idea, how can we incorporate 70s custom cakes into the archive party,
and we'll have to somehow get Paul F. Tompkins and Mary Berry there to judge.
That's
a good idea.
I spoke too soon. I am seeing the way they refer to the X-wing cake as the airplane cake.
Yeah, there's a few things that I thought you might pick up on. Yeah.
And perhaps my favorite thing is the way that Ron signs it off, because. Oh, wait, or did you write it, Jonathan?
Ron wrote the intro.
Okay, because you have the driest exit of any archive article. You just go, hopefully you've enjoyed this nostalgic look at back at some of the fun Star Wars-themed cakes from Mailbox News. It's like, were you intentionally dry? Were you trying to imitate the style, Jonathan?
Yeah, well, sort of, but yeah, I tend to be fairly dry as well, so I think it comes kind of naturally.
Now, do you have a favorite cake or one that we haven't mentioned, Jonathan?
I really did like both of those, the Chewbacca ones. The second one with the candles and the fingers, that was cool, and the little butterfly in the corner. But like, as far as I really like the one that's the starfield with the X-wing, TIE fighter, and Death Star. I don't know, something about it. It was like. It's not as funky as the others, but I just thought it was kind of cool.
This would win like the technical challenge.
Yeah.
This was like a youth competition, right? This
won some, you know, like you can imagine winning some like Lowe's Bear or whatever, but it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's actually see here because, actually this is a good one to read. It's always a pleasure to hear the achievements of young people. Here you see a picture of a cake that brought second place ribbon to Jeff Salamone of Nevada in the junior division of the cake decorating show. Jeff did the Star Wars cake, and then goes on and on. Okay. And then just ends with, really an exciting cake. Continued in later issue. Hey, do you have the one that's continued in, Jonathan?
No, I think that's, I think that was the end of the, or I had to kind of Photoshop these things together. So these were generally in a segment where it was like, these are all the cakes from our readers, and they would do ones that were sort of pop culture. They didn't call it pop culture, but it was, I think they called it Cakes for Kids. So I think that was like the last cake in that group of Cakes for Kids, and you'd have to come to another issue where they showed those again. So I think that's what that was all about, as opposed to a continuation of the article.
Right.
Okay.
And as always with these kinds of things, part of the joy of our show is documenting the phenomenon of Star Wars and just how it was everywhere. And very clearly, there was just nothing. Like, there was nothing that was being done that didn't have something Star Wars in it. There's a really neat one with a super monstrous Chewbacca, but it actually says 1977 Star Wars on it.
Oh yeah.
And that is a, you know, how often do people, I mean, would you Like, if you were getting super excited about the Joker, would you make a cake that said "The Joker 2019"? Right?
Yeah.
It almost feels like they knew that it was that important that you had to put the date on it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is that the earliest Star Wars item that bears the date? Or that calls attention to the release year?
Yeah, it's weird. You're talking about the one that's like the collage of characters?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a group portrait almost.
It's, of course, the one by Dorothy Drusbeck.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could imagine it's like, okay, well, this is your, you know, usually it's like, oh, it's your fourth birthday or your ninth birthday or whatever. Not this right, is your right. 1977 birthday. And that, like that one, maybe the, I guess the kid's name.
Maybe is in there.
The, yeah, above, yeah. Above the kind of gorilla face, Chewie. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's, these are just, we have to somehow get someone to recreate some of these. That would be just, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, they are great. And we're not really doing justice to it because you have to see it. And it really is just worth just taking time, looking at these images. Jonathan really did a great write-up. Yeah, I think it's just great. So that was the cakes part. But actually, before we get to the fakes part, I did also want to say that the joy that we're taking from this is the irregularities, right? The creativity. But I haven't really studied much about the Wilton, like, licensing. So do you know the history of the Wilton licensing, Jonathan?
Well, it started with Empire Strikes Back, continued into Return of the Jedi. You know, so there were four cake pans that they did. I don't know how much detail you want to go into, but, you know, they did candy molds. They did.
Well, this candle. Is our episode about cakes. So you get as detailed as you wish.
Okay, so the four molds were R2-D2, Darth Vader, C-3PO, and Boba Fett. And so those were those came as aluminum molds with like a paper insert. But then you could also get the R2-D2 cake and the Darth Vader cake in a boxed form where it was kind of like a, I guess, intended to be kind of more like a disposable as opposed to a reusable pan. So they're like a foil pan like you would serve at a banquet or whatever, you know, kind of like the crumpled foil thing. And so I can imagine it was a bear to get a cake to come out of that after you baked it. But they kind of came prepackaged with like other stuff that you needed to actually decorate the cake. So it was kind of like an all-in-one boxed item. They did three candles to put on cakes. They did some cake toppers and, you know, candy molds. So it was a pretty extensive line, I guess you'd say. So fun stuff.
Yeah, and it's all ridiculously inexpensive to find.
Yeah, right. except for like, you know, the Boba Fett cake. It's like the Boba Fett everything is expensive, but even that, if you're just patient, it's readily available. And even that,
well, there's one right here for $55.
Yeah, so
there you go.
So yeah. That's, I mean, if that's the most expensive you're going to get putting together a Wilton cake run, they have like a full cake decorating kit from R2-D2, kind of like what you were describing. Like, it's a little bit more involved than just the tin, and it came in the box. You can get that unused for $20. So
that's not bad.
and the my favorite item that I discovered that I'd never ever seen before, and I don't know how I hadn't, but is the two pack with Stormtrooper and Darth Vader. Like, they're basically toys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why don't we talk about this thing more? How do we even describe this? Okay, it's a plastic bag, and it says Wilton Cake Tops, featuring characters from Star Wars, and then it has Darth Vader with his Empire Strikes Back folded arms and a Stormtrooper, and they're like 4.5 inches tall. Like, am I just stupid for not knowing about these, Jonathan?
No, it's just one of those things where, you know, you don't see them that often, but they're cool, you know, meant to be put on a cake. But you're right, they look sort of like toys.
Yeah, the Stormtrooper bears quite a resemblance to the Kenner figure, to me, anyway. At least his helmet looks very much like the Kenner sculpt. Looks, and these are probably about the same size then, yeah? They're like action figure size?
Yeah, they're, yes.
A little bit bigger.
Okay.
Yeah. I would imagine just finding one of these, like, I would think that I would see them in collections or something, just sitting around from people who save them off their cake and just not there. But, well, Steve, I guess that was our whole Wilden conversation.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to it. I mean, but it's a fun thing, and you can put it all together pretty quickly and pretty inexpensively.
Yeah. I feel like maybe, Sky, years ago, maybe it might have been the Boba Fett episode, we might have talked about the cake pan as like an unloved item. That sounds kind of familiar to me, but I literally don't think we've thought about it since then. So it's worth... worth highlighting. If there was an episode to do it, this is it.
Yes. I would say that even the Wilton cake tops text about Vader and Stormtrooper is disappointing. I was hoping to read it and find something fascinating. All it says is the villainous team from Star Wars fame is an exciting addition to any decorated cake, ideal for birthdays, space theme parties for kids through adults. Lays flat on cake top or sides! ! All decorations on cake can be made with tips 4.1, 6, and 18. For more imaginative cake ideas and decorating products, see the current Wilton yearbook and of cake decorating. Jonathan, do you have those?
I do.
Okay. Is there anything in there about Star Wars cakes?
Anything in where?
In the Wilton yearbook of cake decorating.
Oh, geez, I haven't looked at it in a while. And that's something that my mom actually had, so I got that from her. So that's kind of cool.
Okay, well, then you look that up. When we do our, because we're going to do these monthly cake episodes.
We'll get it next month.
For next month, I want you to look up the Wilton cake decorating thing. So we are going to address the Argentinian issue, Jonathan, but... I'm talking about the Argentinian scandal all over the place, and somehow your name popped up, and apparently you have, in the last 5 years, purchased something that you believe is an Argentinian fake. And I just said, I can't believe I'm going to be talking to him today. So what is it that you purchased that you doubt its veracity, Jonathan?
There was a Pepsi promotion in Argentina.
Okay.
As far as I'm aware, a real promotion and involved sort of school supplies for the most part. So like erasers, rulers, triangular kind of rulers, and stickers. So not really school themed with the sticker thing, but they were part of the promotion. So there was a set of 8 stickers. And I've picked those up over the last, maybe 8 years or something. And within the last few years, I was down to needing 2 of the stickers. And they were one of these things where there weren't that many of them out there and there wasn't good documentation of them. So people didn't really know how many of them there were. So the knowledge of them kind of evolved over time. But eventually it was understood that it was 8 of them. So I was down to the last 2. I was able to obtain the last 2, but I think that the last 2 that I got are fake. So
and that's what makes you think they're fake?
So the 6 that I have that I believe are real appear to be, the quality of the printing is pretty good. It's good. So there's a lot of small text on that and the text is legible. Mm. Colors are, uniform colors as opposed to sort of, dotted patterns. There isn't sort of stray markings or anything on them. They're uniformly cut, right angle corners. They're all of uniform size, uniform sort of color and texture, same sticker paper, on the back of them. So there's a consistency to those. And I picked those up over time from a few different sellers, some on eBay, some through Rebel Scum's private sales, and some at Celebration Room sales. And I honestly don't remember exactly what I got from whom. I can't retain all that, but it those came to me over time. The ones that I believe are fake, they're on a different sticker paper. They have like a trim line around the outside, and they're definitely hand cut. So the edges aren't, they're generally straight. It's not that hard to cut a straight line that's not that long. But, you know, when you put the sticker up to a right angle corner of a piece of paper or something, it's not, you know, it's not a right angle. And they're smaller than the other stickers, which are all of a uniform size. You know, they're all exactly the same size. And so, you know, presumably when you're machine cutting these things, there wouldn't be any need for the machine to have a trim line. It just comes down and slices these things. So there are some other things that would be harder to describe, but just a lack of quality, I guess, in the printing, a fuzziness to the smaller text and you know, the imaging itself.
And so these last couple ones were super rare. And so when you got them, were you the only one? Like let's take an example of like what's one image that you think, you know, one of the stickers that you think was one of the fakes?
The B wing was one of them.
What a coincidence. It's almost like I was leading us here.
Yeah.
So
I know.
It would be really improbable for like a B wing collector to get one of those stickers like around the same time as you, right?
Yeah, and I've been told they're rare, but just because they were the last ones I need, I don't know that means they're rare. Yeah, you know, for example, one of the things I bought at one of the room sales, and this was, it might have been Anaheim or might have been one of the Orlando ones before Anaheim. I don't remember, but someone at room sales had some bagged sets of these that came with two stickers, a triangular sort of ruler and a ruler, and had stated that was the way they were distributed. And one of the bags that I got, or I think maybe the only one that I got, actually has a B-wing sticker in it, and it's underneath the other sticker, so it's hard to see, because the bag is kind of tight, so you can't really move it around and see the sticker, but I can move it around enough to see that sticker, that B-wing sticker, looks like all the other stickers, the good stickers I have, and does not have the characteristics of the bad one that I have.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. So I don't know anyone else who has a B-wing sticker. did you get one, Steve?
It turns out, yeah, I did, right around the same time as you alluded to.
Okay. Well, here,
so yeah, there's
under protest is beef burgers. I'm Alex Jones over here saying everybody beware of anything that came out of that country at any point, and I understand. I'm crazy. Obama turned the frogs gay. I get it. I'm just saying, the more rocks we turn up, the more little critters are going to scurry out. And we'll have to see. So I think I'm going to go back to my original thesis, and I mean this completely without any irony. The company Top Toys does not exist and has never existed. And know what? Neither does Toll Toys. Toll Toys and Top Toys, neither of those exist. So I'm going on record without irony saying that definitively here.
Wow, it is. Wow, this is
news.
The shroud is just growing.
And also, Argentina and Australia are actually the same country. They're one country called Argentralia, and it's located in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And I'm just saying it. Okay.
That is something.
And just one more thing before, we will get back to this, but you know, the whole thing about scammers is that they're famous for dying, you know, like dying, quote unquote. And so,
that seems to happen.
I was doing some research today, and the whole reason that I doubt everything from Argentina is because a lot of it came from a famous scammer. And so people are saying, well, some is real, but some is not. And I'm just saying, if something came from a scammer, why would you assume it's real? If this person has faked like toys before, just, you know, so that's my thought. And I just did a little bit of research and I discovered his Facebook page with pictures of him and his wife playing on the beach in their swimsuits from like 3 months ago. So you can never die, it turns out.
Yeah. Still posting from beyond the pearly gates, Sky.
Yes.
Yeah, scamming is the way to immortality.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, we'll thank you for adding a little bit of fuel to the fire, which I anticipate when people see that we're going to be talking about custom cakes from the 70s, the servers are going to break at the archive. So this may be the last episode we ever release. But that being said, thank you so much for coming on. It really is a pleasure to talk about this stuff. And please keep making these blog posts because they are the best thing on the site and the reason that this is a great hobby.
Okay, you're too kind. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yep.